Part of our video roll-in today said, live with great expectations. So I hope that's what you're doing already this year, that you're living with great expectations. Would you help me welcome our campuses that are joining with us today? Come on, let's do it like we mean it. We welcome you today to all of our campuses, wherever you are in Ohio or Illinois or Tennessee. We're glad you're there today. My name is Eddie Couples, and I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I'm excited about what God is doing already and what we're going to see God continue to do this year. I'm beginning a brand new series today called Everything Matters. In fact, it's not just going to be a series for the next 5 weeks, but it genuinely is going to be the focus of the entire year. Now, let me set that up for you as you go to the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk. You say, how do I find Habakkuk? I'm not saying tobacco. Don't look for tobacco. It won't be in there under Winston or Salem or, you know, whatever. It's all right. It's Habakkuk. Go to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. Go left. 5 books, you'll find it, okay? That's the easiest way to get there. So as you're doing that, let me kind of set up how this came about. Months ago, Sherry and I were away for several days, and just kind of sometimes when I'm able to get out of the routine of pastoring and just being involved day in and day out of all the things that happens with a multi-site church and all those kind of things, you can kind of hear God better sometimes. How many of you found that to be true? Kind of get out of the routine and God can speak. And so these couple of words just came up and it just began to resonate. Everything matters. Everything matters. And I kept saying, well, Lord, I got it. Everything matters. I know, you know, people matter and souls matter and baptisms matter and children matter and spiritual walk with you. I mean, I know all that matters, but what are you trying to say? And so I came back and I told the staff, I said, guys, we just got to focus as we're kind of moving into the end of last year. I said, we got to focus on everything matters, everything we're doing. We got to make sure our buildings are right. We got to make sure the parking lot looks right. We've got to make sure that the band is right. We got to make sure everything's together. But I knew that there was something greater than that that we were seeing. And so as the Lord just continued to talk, we had our staff, I don't know why we called it a retreat. I think we work harder at that time than we do any other time, but we went away for a couple of 3 days with the staff, and it came up in the meeting, and they said, Pastor, and as the staff began to talk, they said, this needs to be the focus of the year. And I said, okay, let's figure it out. And so we literally have planned out the year around the subject and the theme of everything matters. Now, I'm going to be out of the book of Habakkuk over the next 5 weeks with you, and I'm going to talk to you of a passage here, and today I'm going to kind of give a corporate understanding, and then the next 4 weeks with you, I'm going to help you to get a vision for your life, for your family, for your business, for your future, whatever it is. The book of Habakkuk, the second chapter, verse 2 and 3, I'm reading out of the Modern English Version of the Bible, says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for an, see that next word, appointed times. Would you say that with me? Appointed times, okay? The vision is for an appointed time, but it speaks of the end and does not lie. If it delays, what does it say? Wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. In other words, it won't just hang out there, okay? So as we begin to look at this, I thought, okay, how does that relate to us as a church? So at every location, at every campus today, you should have gotten one of these cards. And let me go through it just for a few moments with you. I hope you've got one. Pick it up. If you didn't get one when you came in, look at your neighbors. They should have one, okay? Our vision statement for Love and Truth Church is changing lives to change our world, correct? We all know that. We say it over and over and over again. But as we begin to look at that, we said, okay, that's great, but how do we go through and live that out? And so our mission statement, which has been the mission statement of Love and Truth Ministries for over 25 years, is Love and Truth Church is called to be a place of supernatural power, impacting the world, showing unconditional love, reaching the lost, and bringing people into maturity in Jesus Christ through obedience to His holy word. That's our mission. And I'm going to talk about that today, so I'm not going to spend much time here. Our mission statement is our distinctive mandate and keeps us challenged, okay? It's what we're called to do. Doesn't mean it's what anybody else is called to do. That makes sense? That's our mission and what we're called to do. Our values go along with this vision statement, and that is we value truth, we value people, diversity, worship, empowerment. I just preached a whole series on that. Go download it and listen to it if you haven't heard it. Our values are our compass, and they keep us focused. We know if we keep those in central location like they need to be, it keeps us focused in moving forward to true north. And then in 2011, I listed some goals, and they're listed there for you. What we call our 2020 vision is to plant 10 churches, to see 100 ministers trained through LTU, 1,000 people sent on missions trip, thousands of people trained and activated through Growth Track, 100,000 people to hear the gospel, and millions of dollars to be released into God's kingdom. Our goals determine our next steps, and it keeps us honest. How many of you have found out sometimes that churches can say a lot of things, but nobody holds them accountable? Right? We decided we're going to be accountable in this house. Now, at the end of 2020, if you're going to come to me and say, Pastor, we didn't get all that fulfilled, I'm going to look at you and say, no, but we did better than if we hadn't had a goal. Right? We had to have a vision. We had to have an understanding. That's what we're talking about, is this whole aspect of vision. So how'd that play out in 2017? Would you flip to the other side of that card? It says everything matters. Let's look at that. Life changes in 2017. We had 1,339 people make a commitment to Jesus Christ in 2017. Wow. Think about that. We said 10,000. We're almost to 10,000 already since 2011, okay? Baptism, we baptized 319 people last year in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, that's pretty good stuff. We had 187 people receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's back to that supernatural power that we've talked about. The numbers there. Our average attendance for the year was 2,560 people in Love and Truth Church in the U.S. last year on a given Sunday. Our iServe members, people who have gone through Growth Track, who've signed up for a ministry, I don't know how this one came out even, but there's 1,000 people who are serving week in and week out all across Love and Truth Church. And I want to say to all of you who do that, thank you so much. You guys are awesome. And for the rest of you, we got a place for you. Come on and get involved. And lastly, the number of families. We right now have connected to Love and Truth Church almost 2,000 families that are part of a Love and Truth Church. Look at giving last year. Just a couple of things about giving. Last year alone, Love and Truth Church sent out two missions, not our house. We sent out over $500,000 last year in missions giving alone, and I think that ought to be celebrated because that's how the world gets changed. Our income this last year was over $4 million, and it's because of your consistent giving and your love for the kingdom of God that we're able to do that. Now, let's get into this today, because here's what I want to refer you back to that mission statement, that Love and Truth Church is called to be a place of supernatural power. Everything is connected back to that one aspect of being a church of supernatural power. It's our mandate. It's who we are. It's our distinctive as a local congregation. It doesn't mean it's what everybody else's distinctive is, but it's what we're called to be. In fact, in America today, most churches really don't want the power of the Holy Spirit doing much. Okay. Really don't. I mean, past salvation, in most churches today, the most supernatural thing that happens is salvation, and outside of that, nothing else. Think about it for a minute. Now, I believe, and listen clearly to what I'm going to say, I believe with all my heart, the greatest thing supernaturally that can happen in your life is not that you get healed, not that you get delivered, not that you get a financial blessing, but the greatest thing that can happen in your life is when you get saved. There's nothing any greater than that supernatural moment when you come into relationship with Jesus Christ. But that's not all that God has for us. The book of Acts shows us how the New Testament church ought to operate. The book of Acts has not shut itself down. There is no amen there. There's no ending of that. The book of Acts is still being written as long as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is upon this earth. Now, here's how I want to say this. We want to be a place, loving true churches, we want to be a place that heaven can't help but be involved in. That makes sense? In other words, heaven's going to look down and say, that's a group of people that they want me there. They want my presence there. They want my anointing there. And so I'm going to get involved in that house, in that place, because they desire a move of my spirit. Being a place of supernatural power means a connection with the one who is the creator of everything. It means that in our lives, we understand that without him, we can do nothing. But the scripture goes on to say, with him, all things are possible, right? And so there's this connection. And what has to happen is, for a church to be that kind of a church, there has to be an absolute hunger for the presence of God. We've got to say, we don't care how good we get at everything else. Doesn't matter how many lights, and doesn't matter how good the band is, doesn't matter how wonderful the praise singers are, doesn't matter, you know, how great the sermon is or whatever. If God's not there, we go back to what Moses said. When Moses showed up, and he and God are having this dialogue, and God's mad at the children of Israel. I don't know if you understand that. God got ticked at the children of Israel on several occasions. But at this occasion, God looks at Moses and says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going with you anymore. I'm going to send an angel to go with you. And the word of God says this. It says that Moses replied back to the Lord, if you don't go, we're not going either. Now that's the way we are as a congregation. God, if you don't go, we're not going either. Amen. See, the focus is on Jesus and what he is doing. It has to be. There can't be anything greater than Jesus Christ. He has to be the preeminent thing that we are looking at and that we are focusing on. And if we miss that, then we miss out on everything that God has called us to do. So we've got to get there. Now, a Yale theologian, and I will butcher his name, but give me a moment here. Miroslav Volf says, okay, Miroslav Volf is not from Madison County. Just tell by the name, all right? He's a Yale theologian, and here's what he said. Christian communities will be able to survive and thrive in contemporary societies only if they attend to their difference from the surrounding culture and subcultures. In other words, the more we try to be like the world, the less effect we're going to have on the world. That there's got to be something that sets us apart and says we are not like the world and we're not like this church or that church. It is our distinctives that draw people to us. And let me prove that real quickly to you, then we'll move on quickly. But I can prove that to you because how many chicken restaurants are they? Come on, think about it for a minute. You got everything from Bojangles to Popeyes. You go from that kind of a chicken restaurant to a Zaxby's to a place named Raising Cane to a Chick-fil-A. Every one of them selling chicken, but they are being flocked because different people like different tastes at different things at different times. All right? Every church is called to have a distinctive. And when you water down your distinctive is when you quit fulfilling the mandate that Jesus Christ has called you to fulfill. So we are not called, listen to me, we are not called to be like any other church in any other location. We are called to be a people who have a hunger and a thirst and a desire for the power of the Holy Spirit to be moving and touching people's lives. If we keep that, then God can bless it, and God can send the people that need to be a part of that. If we water that down and move away from that, then God goes, I can't deal with that, and I can't work with you because of that. See, here, there's something about the presence of God. I had a person a few years back came and visited, and I went and talked to him later, a friend of mine, and they said, can I tell you something? I said, sure. And they said, I want to tell you something about your church. And when you say that, you kind of get a little nervous. right? When somebody's coming from a different tradition than you are. And I said, tell me. And the person said to me, I said, you know what? It said, I was sitting in your service. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it was that good of a service. You know, it was all right, but it wasn't like over the top or anything. And they said to me, they said, all of a sudden I began to cry. And they said, I've gone to church all my life. I've never cried in church. They said, why'd that happen? I said, you need Jesus. I said, I'm not saying you're not saying. You just need Jesus in some level. He wouldn't have touched you in that way if you didn't need him. Amen. Right? See, what we've got to come to an understanding is that God's presence brings some things that nothing else does. And that's what I want to talk about just for a moment here. First thing that God's presence does is that it brings conviction. The book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 8 says, then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Why? Because they were convicted. They know that, and they knew they had done wrong. I want to say something to you. If you're here today, whether you are a Christ follower or not one, if you have a sin problem in your life, I want God to convict you of that. Now, I don't mean that in a negative way. I don't want to have anything in my life that would keep me from living the life that Jesus Christ has for me. I want him to convict me. And there have been multiple occasions, and I still have it happen on an ongoing basis, where the Holy Spirit puts its finger right down in my business and says, deal with this. And I go, I don't want to deal with that. I really like being angry. You know, or I really like thinking bad thoughts about certain people. None of you. It's some other people, right? And yet the Holy Spirit convicts. I don't want us to ever get to a place where somebody can walk in to a love and true church and not feel the presence of God and it convicts them of their sin. Secondly, the presence of God brings comfort. Not only does it bring conviction, it also brings comfort. The book of Psalm, the 42nd chapter says, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet thank him for the help of his presence. That comfort. Ever been in a moment with the Lord, maybe just by yourself, or maybe you were in a worship environment and you've been going through some things and life wasn't going the way that you wanted it to, but all of a sudden you just felt the presence of God and it just brought comfort. It didn't do away with a problem. It didn't solve it maybe, but you just knew that God cares. How many of you know sometimes you just need to know somebody cares? And that's what the presence of God does, is that it shows up in our lives and it brings us conviction, but it also brings us comfort. The third thing that it brings us is it brings us closeness to God. The book of James, the 4th chapter, says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Now, I know that God is omnipresent. I understand that. But we also understand that although God is everywhere, there are some times that he feels closer. There are those moments in our lives. Do you know what I'm talking about? You understand what I'm saying? There are those moments. Maybe you're in a prayer time or maybe you're in 21 days of prayer and fasting. And you've set yourself aside to the Lord. And you said, God, I need to hear from you. And all of a sudden his presence shows up. And you just know that you know he's there. Listen, if you've never experienced that, I'm going to tell you, it's one of the greatest experiences you will ever have. Just to sense the presence of God in your life and where you are is wonderful. The fourth thing that the presence of God brings is that it brings covenant. Now, I know that one sounds a little strange, and I'll explain it to you, but the book of Psalms says it this way, Psalms 105 and 8, he remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded to 1,000 generations. Here's the deal about covenant. The Bible is a book of covenants. It's God making covenant with Adam and Eve. It's God making covenant with Noah. It's God making covenant with Abraham. It's a book of covenant. And even the New Testament really could be called the New Covenant. And what God's presence does is, remember when we talk about taking communion, he said, when you do this, remember me. In other words, remember the covenant that I have established with you. And in that moment, know that what I'm going to do for you is bring all of these blessings into your life. God says, I want to do all these things for you. In fact, Jesus said it this way in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life, and it, life, more abundantly. Correct? And so that's what the covenant is all about, is reminding us, helping us to understand that you and I have the ability to walk in his presence and to receive from the covenants of God. Whatever God says is ours, we have a right as his presence comes to fulfill that covenant. One of the greatest places you can find that is in the Old Testament with Abraham. The Bible says that God takes Abraham out. He says, I want you to number the stars in the heaven. And Abraham got lost and forgot how many he'd counted. And he said, God, I can't do it. And God says, just as the number of the stars are in the heaven, so is your seed going to be. And then the Bible says God put Abraham into a deep sleep. He made a covenant with him. And God himself came down and walked through the covenant, walked through the sacrifice, and said, I am going to do this no matter what. Let me just say this. This is a side note. That's why you better keep your hands off of Israel. Okay, it's just the truth. All right? So some of you are buying into bad theology on that. Okay? The church has not replaced Israel. Israel is still the apple of God's eye, and the more we bless Israel, the more God will bless us as a nation, and he has all of these years, and the more we turn away from Israel, this is all a side note, the more that we will see the hand of God come against us. So it's good to bless Israel, all right? Now, being in God's presence means we are made aware of his power, his glory, and his promises. When I come into his presence, it's in that moment that I begin to sense who he is and what he said. And I begin to know. The word glory, if you study it, the word glory is kabod. The word glory means the weightiness of God. There is the power of God that comes in. There are times in your life, there are times in a service where the presence of God shows up. Now, I want to talk to us as a ministry today. One of the things that has caught my attention in the past few years is how many churches have turned away from the power of the Holy Spirit. We might give it a wink and a nod, but we don't give it preeminence in what it is that God wants to do. I'm going to say to you today something that some of you hopefully will understand what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is this, is that Love and Truth Church was born in the fire, birthed in the fire, lived in the fire, and we're not going to get out of the fire. We are a church that believes in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. We are a church that doesn't relegate signs and wonders and miracles to the closing of the New Testament canon of Scripture, that we believe that if he ever has, he still will. We believe that if he ever did, he still does. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just refuse in the environment of saying, well, what we want is that we don't want anybody to ever feel uncomfortable. Here's what I want to say to you. You're always welcome. You're always loved. You're always accepted at Love and Truth Church. If you don't believe that, go listen to last week's sermon. Go download it. I talked all about that last week. At the same time, understand, he's more welcome than anybody. He is the one that it's all about. Now, here's what I know, okay? I want to ask you to raise your hands, but a lot of you come from some kind of a Pentecostal, Spirit-filled, charismatic, whatever background, okay? And the reason that a lot of you are here is because you got tired of all the craziness that you saw in those kind of churches. And I grew up in that kind of a church, and I got tired of all the craziness, all right? And yet, the problem is, if we're not careful, we get so tired of the craziness, we go to the other extreme. There is a middle ground to come to. The Word of God clearly talks about the power of the Holy Spirit, but the Word of God also talks about everything is to be done decently and in order. All right? We are a church that believes in order. We are a church that believes that there's a time and a place for everything. Sunday morning, listen to me, Sunday morning is not the place of the demonstration of your latest, greatest gift. Well, I've got the gift of interpretation. Well, I've got the gift of sitting down. Sit down. Well, I've got, you know, prophecy, and I've got this. I believe in all of them. But it's not Sunday morning stuff, all right? There are times, your small group or your prayer group or a Wednesday night service. Wednesday night services are powerful. They're opened up for that. That's what we do. But Sunday is for us to take people where God wants them to go. But having said that, the reason that Sunday morning services are what they are is because of what we believe about everything else. And the moment that you take away the power of the Holy Spirit is the moment that you do away with what makes the distinctive of this house what it is. And so we're not getting away from that. Everything matters. The power of the Holy Spirit matters. The presence of God matters. The glory of God matters in our lives. And we've got to be people who are ready at the moment to say, you know what, I believe. Listen, here's what I want to happen. When I pray, I get here early on Sunday morning. I'm in this auditorium praying here at North Campus. And throughout the week, I'm in here praying. And here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that when you show up, listen, I'm praying that when you get out of your car on a parking lot at a Love and True Church, that there's an angel that's there with you. Now, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But you got an angel. The Bible says that we all have an angel. So I just feel like they ought to be there when you go to church. I pray that the Holy Spirit would just overshadow every church, every property we have with the glory of God. That even as people are driving down the street by our church, they'll feel the drawing of the presence of God. I pray that as you walk into an auditorium, that somewhere during that service, whether it's a song or a word or a sermon, that the presence of God touches you and the Spirit of God ministers to you and the life of God flows into you. Because that's what you need. Listen, you don't need another service. Listen, if you take God out of the equation, all we've got is a good show. And I'm a little motivational speaker. It's just trying to help you a little bit. Listen, if I'm going to be a motivational speaker, I'm going to go out on the road and do it and you know, make the kind of money those guys make. Leave it at that, all right? No, we've got to have the presence of God. Well, Pastor, how do we bring the presence of God? It's found in the book of Psalms. Psalm 42:1 says, as the deer pants after the water, after the brook, after that water that's there, so my soul pants after you, O God. Now, the picture to me is of a deer. Some of you are hunters. I'm not a hunter, so I'm not going to go there. But some of you are hunters. The picture to me is that a hunter has been after this deer, or there's some animal in the forest that's been after this deer, and that deer's just been running, and there's it's almost at the end of itself, and it's looking for strength, and it's searching for water, and it's panting, saying, if I can just get to water, I'll be okay. You know what? The sad truth is, listen to me, the sad truth is, in America, in the Western church, we have been so blessed in so many ways that we come to church full instead of hungering and thirsty. And we push it back, and we... That piano was a little loud today. I don't know about that. You know, what's the deal with all that smoke and lights? What's that about? Well, you might not want to go to heaven. Because in heaven it says there's a light that emanates from the throne. And the prayers of the people of God are like incense and smoke before the throne of God. So maybe what we're doing is just getting you ready for heaven. And you didn't know it. Just a thought. See, it's not about smoke. It's not about lights. It's not about music. It's about Him. It's about coming to that place that I am so desirous of His touch that everything else fades, that I'm not a connoisseur. Sherry and I went on a cruise. We've been on several. And every time I get on a cruise, I get excited. And I take my stretchy pants. Y'all all right with that? I don't take pants that are tight. I take pants that are, you know, like one size too big. Because I know I'm going to be on there 4 or 5 or 6 days, and I'm going to eat everything inside. Come on, you ever been on one? Don't act holy right now. I know your diet just started. I'm talking about last year, all right? And we got on this boat, and it was a nice boat, and I got on there, and I couldn't wait for the first night. And, you know, I ordered 2 of everything, not really, but I ate and ate and ate. Next day, I couldn't wait for breakfast. I got done with breakfast, and I went to brunch. I went from brunch to lunch, went from lunch to the afternoon meal, from afternoon meal to... I figured I'd paid for it. I might as well eat my weight while I was on that boat, right? About the third day, I looked at her and said, I really don't want to go in that thing again. I am so sick and tired of eating. You know what? It's what's happened to most of us. We've heard so many sermons. We've felt God's presence so many times. We've experienced so many blessings that we come in and it's like, oh, I'll take a little nibble of that and a little bit of that. But we don't come in ravenous saying, God, wreck our world today. Wreck us, God. Do something inside of us that only You can do. How does the presence of God come? Here it is, quickly. First of all, you've got to expect Him. When you show up, you need to expect God to meet you. The Bible says where 2 or 3 gather together, there He is in our midst. Secondly, we need to pursue Him as the deer. I'm going after You. God, I'm not going after You because they sing the song I like or they preach the sermon I like or the person who sits by me I like. God, I'm going after You because You are my source. And lastly, I've got to receive Him. The water does no good if you don't drink it. The presence of God can be in the house as we gather together, but if you don't receive it, it won't do you any good. And see, here's what I know. I know that there are some of you who are listening to me today, and you haven't yet made that decision to give your life to Christ. You haven't yet taken that step of saying, Lord, I need You. But here's what I want to tell you today. There is something that is missing in your life that only God can supply. And until you know that, you'll continue to live that cycle of life and not ever move in everything that God has for you. But not only those of you who haven't made that decision to be a Christ follower, there are some of you who you made a decision. You've walked with God for years. But you've gotten so full. You've gotten so blessed. See, here's the deal. None of you had to worry today that you were going to be killed if you came to church. You read the news lately? You've seen how many Christians are being murdered because they're Christians? We don't have to think about that. In fact, you probably had people trying to get you to come to church instead of trying to keep you away. You say, Pastor, you're trying to make me feel guilty? No, I'm trying to make you feel hungry. I want you to hunger and thirst after righteousness, after the things of God. That's what I want to happen. And that's what 2018 is going to be about, because everything matters. Our passion, our desire, our zeal for the kingdom of God matters. And we've got to go for it. Amen.